Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of nearly 20,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice.
This week, we're talking to Owen Comerford. He's the CEO of Moose Jaw, one of the biggest e-tailers in the outdoor sphere. And this company is super cool in its own right. They have put a lot of effort into their diversity initiatives amongst their employees.
But on top of that, they've actually begun an accelerator program that is taking applicants through this Friday, January 15th. And for the program, they've amassed an absolute dream team. They've partnered with Gear Junkie, the Ice Lab out in Gunnison, Colorado, Camber Outdoor Initiative, and a law firm, Holland & Hart, which is really key because all of these players could really make your entrepreneurial dreams a reality. They have the experience and they have the resources. So Owen really gets into the nitty-gritty of why this accelerator is worth it, and it is. And we're just going to say Moose Jaw will carry your product if you're a participant, and the CEO himself might call out your product in a podcast one time, as he did with participants from last year. So keep that in mind.
Yeah. So you may have heard of Giro, for instance, and Owen will get into this more, but basically they're a former participant, very cool company and having major success now. So take a listen if you are in that entrepreneurial sphere. But first, let's get into the jobs.
The first job we have excited me tremendously. It is an internship, actually, with Keen Footwear, and they are located in Colorado. However, this opportunity is remote. I got so excited about this opportunity because it is both remote and it is paid at $18 an hour, which for an internship is really great. It's going to be a 10-week paid summer gig from June to August. And the one in question we're talking about today is a utility design intern. So they would love somebody that's maybe in school for graphic design, but there's a couple of options if you go to their site, and it's really going to be someone that wants to be mentored with that in-house team and really get a sense of what the outdoor industry is like. Of course, you are remote, but a lot of the positions these days, especially design-centric, can be done this way. So I think that doing an internship in this dynamic is really helpful for potentially getting a job in the remote space in the future, because understanding how to communicate remotely is going to be one of those skills employers are looking for.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And the next job we have is at another footwear company, Sorel. This is in Portland, Oregon, and they are looking for a digital graphic designer, somebody with 3 to 5 years of experience. And this person will really be creating a lot of the assets that we see in terms of messaging from Sorel. So, you know, items for Sorel.com, advertising, emails, social media support, really just taking the brand and pushing it through its visual lens. Sorel is owned by Columbia Sportswear Company, which also owns Prada. So once you're kind of into that group, there's potential to, you know, move around within their internal companies, which is kind of cool as well.
Sorel is so cool. I just got new Sorel boots for Christmas, so I am definitely hyping them right now. Yeah.
Yes, that's all I wore when I lived in upstate New York and it was freezing.
Yeah, up here in Canada, they are necessary. Mm-hmm. Oakley is hiring again. We were really excited to see, and they're located in Foothill Ranch, California, which I believe is near Los Angeles. They are looking for a category senior manager. This is definitely a senior role. They would like someone with about 8 years of experience in either category or product management or product development. This role really consolidates a ton of different things: engineering, business marketing. You're really going to be creating a roadmap for their sales in the future. Where should Oakley be going? What should their business strategy and direction be? Which story should you be telling? Which product should be involved in that storytelling? So it's a huge job for someone. Again, Oakley is really a cool brand. We worked with them a lot at the Olympic Committee, and I'm very excited to see this role pop up.
Awesome. Yeah. And sometimes, like, the people I've known who worked at Oakley have been there for, gosh, like probably upwards of 20 years at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Okay, it's one of those brands that people stay at. So super cool. The next job we have is yet another footwear company, but Deckers is based in Goleta, California, which is just outside of Santa Barbara, and they are looking for an associate photographer, so someone with 3 years of experience, really photographing product. You will be working in the studio, styling, lighting, color correcting afterwards, you know, making sure everything's looking good with their product images for probably their website as well as other marketing materials. So associate photographer position, I know that these product photographer positions don't pop up very often within the outdoor industry, and they are pretty coveted. So if this is your skill set, definitely get your application in.
The same company is actually hiring for a photo retoucher as well. Patagonia is hiring again. There are a ton of jobs on their site right now, and we popped a bunch into our newsletter as well. So make sure you are subscribed for that. However, this role was my favorite, so we're talking about it here. It is design support for color and textile. This person, who will work in the Ventura CA headquarters, will be helping Patagonia create color palettes that are seasonal and then help define the company as an environmental leader. This to me sounds so much fun. And one of the best parts is they are only requiring 2 years of experience working in a design and textile environment. So it really is not a high level of experience needed. And if you're someone that's passionate about colors and textiles and fabrics and the way that those all fit together to create a brand voice, this would be an amazing position.
Very cool. And the last position today is with Stanley. Stanley is a maker of drinking vessels, as they're sometimes called in the interior of the outdoor industry. Rugged drinking vessels. So think, you know, kind of canteens, camp mugs, coffee pour over set that you might take camping. And they are looking for a marketing manager. So this is based in Seattle, Washington. They're looking for someone with 5 to 7 years of experience. And, you know, they want somebody who can really solve problems, engage in storytelling, you know, get people excited about Stanley and their initiatives. I know that they have a really good track record of being an environmentally conscious company. So definitely if you're into marketing, you want to live in the Pacific Northwest, this could be a great position. And again, 5 to 7 years of experience, and they would like to see someone who has experience working with creative teams and agencies. So that's it for jobs.
Yeah, those were some great ones. And now we're going to take you over to talk to Owen about why you should be applying for the Entrepreneurial Accelerator they've set up.
Awesome. Let's go.
All right, everyone, we are now here with Owen Comerford. He is the CEO of Moose Jaw, and he's here to tell us a little bit more about that accelerator that we talked about a couple weeks ago.
Thanks for having me. I am the CEO of Moose Jaw. I've been with Moose Jaw since 2008, so it's been a hot minute, and I've been in the CEO role since 2012.
Awesome. Can you also tell us a little bit about what Moose Jaw is and what Moose Jaw does?
Sure. At Moose Jaw, our vision is to be the outdoor enthusiast's most loved gear shop. We've been around since 1992, actually. Started off as a gear shop in suburban Detroit. We've grown to 12 stores in 5 states, but actually the majority of our business is online. We're one of the top online retailers in the U.S. of outdoor gear and apparel, everything from hiking, backpacking, and climbing, which is where we got our start, to ski, snow, bike, kayak, you name it.
Awesome. Thanks for that.
We don't often see larger organizations for the outdoors outside of the hubs of, you know, Colorado, California, the PNW. So it's great that you're holding down the fort there almost.
We are. Yeah, there's not a lot of 14ers nearby, I must admit. But Michigan's a beautiful, beautiful state. I think most people that aren't familiar with it maybe not think of it, but we're surrounded by water and the Great Lakes here and just wonderful, wonderful places to visit.
Now, there is a little bit of a connection between Moose Jaw and Walmart. Can you just briefly go over that for our audience?
Sure. So Moose Jaw was acquired by Walmart in 2017, so almost 4 years ago now. And really, it was to for us to help supercharge the growth of the outdoor category in online. So and I actually, until about a year ago, was the GM for outdoor for Walmart.com as well. So I kind of had two titles. Since then, the online last year was actually merged with the stores retail team. And so I took a step back from that piece. And now I'm focusing solely on Moose Jaw again, which is great. But yeah, it was really to help grow that and bring our expertise, and also to help you get more outdoor brands and bring more of an enthusiast focus to the assortment on Walmart.com and in Walmart stores.
I mean, when I saw that, I looked at it as a democratization almost of the outdoors. No matter what you think about Walmart, it's where a lot of people shop, and it's at a price point that a lot of people can actually put into their budget. So absolutely, I think a move that is going to help more people get outside, which I believe is your goal.
Absolutely, and that's exactly it. And you know, as we look to inclusivity and diversity within the industry and within outdoor participation, you know, you have to start somewhere. And I think the reality is that the people that are shopping in traditional specialty retail within outdoors, we're not attracting that customer. But that customer is in mass retail like Walmart. Also, I would say, you know, Walmart is really the key place where a lot of people start with their outdoors, with car camping or family camping, call it what you will, and that's really, to me, is sort of the gateway drug, if you know, to the outdoors, and then to getting people more into hiking, backpacking, kayaking, etc. So I think it just makes a lot of sense to target those folks so that we can bring them into an even deeper engagement in the outdoors, and from there they may move on to specialty retail or on to, specialty or enthusiast brands. But the key is to get people outdoors again, which we've seen. This last year has been, if there's been one silver lining to that, it is that people have rediscovered the outdoors.
Now, tell us, how did you personally discover the outdoors? Or what's your story of breaking, into kind of the outdoor space at Walmart, but also on a personal standpoint as well?
I've been an outdoor enthusiast for many years. I was a Boy Scout and Adventure Scout growing up. I grew up in Ireland, actually, came over here when I was 18. But I'm a family camper. I'm a car camper, on the shores of Lake Michigan every year with my family and friends. So I'm not out there on the rock wall or through hiking the AT. But definitely love the outdoors. I really came to Moose Jaw, though, more out of a love for e-commerce, quite frankly. That's really where I've done my work in the last 20 plus years has been in the e-commerce industry. And as I sold the prior company, was looking at opportunities and found Moose Jaw locally. I've been in Michigan for 30 plus years, and loved the brand and said, this was where I wanted to work.
Super cool. That's
okay.
Wonderful.
Amazing. Yeah. E-com is absolutely, now these days everyone can see the cool link between e-com and how important it is. But I'm sure back then it wasn't as obvious that this could be a career trajectory that could lead you to a CEO position.
Yeah. And very cool to also see you kind of move from, like Jenna just said, e-commerce into the industry at a senior level.
Yeah, I mean, for Moose Jaw, e-commerce was the majority of our revenue, even back then. It's just continued to grow and grow and grow, obviously. And Moose Jaw's founders were always very, forward-looking in terms of technology. So, for example, MooseJaw.com actually dates back to 1995. We had our first online order was I believe in 1999. So really was always leading there. By 2002, we actually had more sales online than in our stores, and it just continued to grow from there.
Let's talk a bit about the Outdoor Accelerator. We know that MooseJaw has had an eye on diversity for a long time. We know that this is important for you. Is that why the Outdoor Accelerator came to be?
Inclusivity has been a big push for MooseJaw and for me personally for a number of years now. Obviously, the results of last year really brought it into much sharper focus for the overall industry, but this isn't a new issue. Right. Really, you just have to walk the halls of the outdoor retailer show when we could do that to know we have an issue with diversity, mm-hmm. especially racial diversity within the industry. And then in 2019, I gave a presentation to a group of future leaders of the outdoor industry. So these are folks in their, late 20s, early 30s who are, up and comers, I'd say, in the industry. And as I looked out on the audience of, roughly 100 people, I saw an encouraging amount of gender diversity, but almost no racial diversity. So it really just just sort of brought home even more that our future diversity looks a lot like today, right, as an industry, unless we do something about it. And so the Outdoor Accelerator, what we're trying to do is really help companies that are going to help drive inclusivity within our industry and within our industry's participation get up and running. Right. Because, you know, sometimes you just need that extra help. So what we've done is we've pulled together what I'm calling a dream team of different people to help those entrepreneurs really get their business launched. We're not an investor. We don't take equity. We don't take we don't ask for any fees. This is literally something we're doing just to help. We will try to make connections with investors. We have lots of connections in the industry. We'll look to help and mentor people through the process, provide legal assistance, on and on, to really move folks from the idea stage to hopefully a saleable product or service.
That's amazing, because some of those items that you listed are a little bit ancillary. So often people will have such a passion to create a product or something like that they know is an issue from their own experience in the outdoors, but they won't have that knowledge of legal, IT, maybe marketing. And that might make them think that they're not ready to be an entrepreneur, but all they really need is a little bit of help. So that's what you're providing here.
Exactly. Help, mentoring. Yes, because there's a lot to it. It can be supply chain, finding the right manufacturing partner for launch, which may not be the manufacturing partner you need to scale, but there's lots of different approaches there. On the technology side, maybe it's finding folks to help with the coding or the hosting or what have you. But really, it is. It's the great thing about working with the folks at IceLab is they've done this, right? This is not a new thing. They have a whole curriculum that they work with entrepreneurs through, and it's customized to each person going through the program. So if you've really got it all figured out and you've got your prototype in place, but really what you need help on is branding and marketing and launch strategy, okay, we go there. Or if actually you're earlier stage and really you have an idea, it's fairly fleshed out, but you need to work on sourcing, we can customize it for that too. Or if you're fairly far along, and let me just say, in terms of the folks that we're targeting, this is definitely early stage. So it would be in many cases what they call pre-revenue. So in other words, you have an idea, maybe a prototype, but you haven't actually sold any yet, mm-hmm. right? Or from a funding stage, it would be pre-seed or seed. Generally speaking, the entrepreneur or the founder has kind of funded it themselves. Maybe they've maxed their credit cards to get as far as they can with the idea. Or maybe they're at seed, which means they've got, some smaller private investors that have helped move them along, mm-hmm. but they're not talking about private equity or venture capitalists at this point. It's before that process.
Seed is often friends and family too. So like if your friends and family are helping you out, you're maybe an ideal candidate for this program.
Exactly. Yep.
And it's very cool to hear that you tailor the program really to wherever the entrepreneur is in terms of the timing of their business. So that's fabulous. So how is Moosejaw uniquely positioned? I know that you have all these partnerships. What is it that Moosejaw brings to the table within the accelerator?
Well, I think what we bring is the retailer's mindset about what consumers are looking for, what has worked in the past, what hasn't worked in the past, what makes companies attractive to retailers. And then ultimately, we can also bring our voice, our social media clout to help launch the products. We've got a great presence on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And, millions in terms of an email list. So we can definitely get the message out when we do look to launch this product. And again, we've got 12 retail stores that can help as well.
The focus that Moosejaw has had on e-com, obviously you're a leader in the sphere. That's so important for launching something in a pandemic. People need to know how to leverage the digital universe. And it sounds like the mentorship that could be provided through your team and your partners would be invaluable.
Yeah, e-commerce is certainly the way that the industry is going. That's not to say that specialty retail, doesn't have a place long-term in the industry, but especially right now, e-commerce should be the focus and would be the focus, I think, for most new brands before they look for more brick-and-mortar placement.
Would somebody that is creating a digital product or an app be just as good of a candidate as somebody that's creating an actual tangible product?
Yes, absolutely. So this is actually our second accelerator. So we did one a couple of years ago. It wasn't quite as focused on inclusivity, but we had three folks that went through the program Two of them were physical products. So Hustle Bike Labs is about to launch their magnetic clipless pedal. And then Geyser Systems is a really cool camp shower solution. But then there was also a technology solution called Giro, marketplace and rental platform, really for brick and mortar stores, you know, who have been, you know, basically running their rental, you know, out of a three-ring binder for years. This gives them a whole system to do that. But not only that, it is an online marketplace where people across the country can find the gear that they need to rent. You know, let's say they're headed to Crested Butte and they're like, I need a tent. They can just search right on that site and find it. So that was something where Giro went through the program and really had a great idea, but really this was what helped to get them, you know, to where they are today.
We had a question in the group. Someone was looking for a solution for that, and I think Giro was one of the top mentioned suggestions for that. So that's great.
Good to hear.
Tell us a bit about this mentorship aspect. So a lot of the program is going to be taking place in Gunnison, Colorado, because that's where the ICE lab is physically located. And the program will facilitate lodging expenses, which is really wonderful. But then there's a week in Boulder with a very large mentorship aspect. Can you tell us a bit about how that week will differ from the other portion?
It's an 8-week program in total. So the first 2 weeks are virtual, and that really is to give the teams, the winning teams, a chance to really get all their needs together, get their materials together, understand what's available to them, start to work on customizing the curriculum. And then we have a week in Boulder, and I'll be there for that week, and we'll have some of the Moose Jaw executives. We have a store in Boulder, so, you know, we can talk about retail strategy and what works and what doesn't work. You know, some of the folks from Canberra Outdoors, who is another partner with the program, live in the Boulder area. So this is all going to take place in April. So hopefully we can do this in a nice, safe, socially distanced way. But really the goal is to provide that mentorship and to talk through the idea in more detail, to help provide direction for how they can get the most out of the 5 weeks in Gunnison.
Okay, understood. So they're getting actual FaceTime with leadership teams.
Yeah, and again, we want to help, and we want these folks to succeed. And so myself and the other leaders at Moose Jaw and the folks at Camber and the ICE Lab, we've been around the industry for a lot of years. And I think we can at least steer people down the right path and give them some advice on what to do and maybe what to avoid.
Is there a specific demographic or community or, you know, a person in mind that you would love to see applying?
We would love to see people of color, founders, entrepreneurs that we can bring into the industry. Female founders as well, obviously, you know, again, just helping to create, you know, increased diversity. Or people who are looking at concepts or ideas or products that help increase the inclusivity or diversity of participation. So for example, you know, maybe it's people that are making extended sizes for climbing harnesses for outdoor apparel. Maybe it's for items that are going to help the differently abled to get outdoors and enjoy the outdoors. So none of these are requirements, but that's sort of that would be the ideal in terms of helping to drive that underlying goal.
Okay, amazing. Just out of curiosity, would a nonprofit be relevant for this at all, or does it have to be a for-profit company?
That's a good question. I think it could be relevant in terms of if it is helping with what the ultimate goal is. I would suggest, yeah, absolutely, go ahead and apply.
Okay, a couple came to mind. So great, that's wonderful to know. Is there any aspects of the program that you're really, really excited about?
The thing here is that, you know, we look to get as much out of it as we put in to a degree, not financially, obviously, but really more about the passion and excitement that these new entrepreneurs can bring. You know, having been around entrepreneurs over the years, it really helps to recharge my batteries and keep me excited and engaged in the industry. So just getting to work with these folks is something that I'm really looking forward to.
I can see that, because every time we see a new project pop up in the Basecamp group, I personally get really excited just seeing what's out there, and the passion is really contagious. So it's very energizing. I agree with that completely. Oh, and how could somebody make their application stand out? Is it just that their idea is great, or is there a way to kind of go above that and maybe show that passion?
I think the video is important. Right. The application, you know, does go through a number of steps, asking about the idea, the size of the addressable market, all of those sorts of things. that you really do need to have figured out before you're kind of ready for this stage. But there's also the quest to upload a video. And we've all been on, you know, Kickstarter or what have you, and have seen, you know, some of the better examples here. It doesn't need to be some super highly produced thing, even if it's just the founder on their iPhone talking about their idea. I think that's even maybe more important. So you can see the passion, you can see what they're trying to do and get that across. So that's going to be important for the first phase, because I should explain, the way that this is working is we're looking to get as many applicants as we can right now. The group is going to go through those. So it's not just Moose Trust, the folks from IceLab and Holland and Hart, who's the law firm that's providing legal advice, the folks from Canberra Outdoors, who's our partner for DEI, and also the folks with Gear Junkie. We're going to go through those submissions and really choose a top 10 that we like, that we think would benefit from the program and could be successful. And then we're actually going to go back out to consumers via Moose Jaw and Gear Junkie to have them vote on the best four. And those four then will win inclusion in the program. So you know, the video, as much as it's important to get to that top 10, it'll be, I would say, doubly important in terms of the consumer portion of the process.
Wow, that's very cool to hear that the consumers are going to have some say. And so, but that means also somebody's following could actually alter their results. Will it be entirely dependent on how the consumers respond, or will it sort of also be up to you guys in the background, but incorporating the consumer's response?
Yeah, we'll definitely have the final say, but the consumer's response will be a strong determinant of who ultimately wins.
Sure, because those are the people who'll be buying the product in the end.
Right, and if a group does have a strong following or does know how to get out there and drive support for their product, that is an early indicator that they have something and that they have success and that they know how to drive demand. So that in and of itself is a pretty good signal.
That's a very good point. And also, you had mentioned that this was kind of a dream team before, and I want to reiterate, this is a dream team. And even if you don't make it into that top 10 or that top four, you are getting your idea and you are getting your face in front of some people in the outdoor industry that maybe you're not right for this opportunity, but they've now seen you and maybe you're right for an opportunity in the future that they'll think back to you for. So I don't think there's any downside to applying if you think that you might be a good fit for it. Not maybe a perfect fit, but if you think that there's any way that this might be good for you, apply.
Totally. Exactly. There isn't a downside other than the time that it'll take you to do the application. And quite frankly, the structure of the application, you know, leads you through some key questions. And if you haven't thought of it, if you can't answer those questions, then maybe you're not ready, or answering those questions, I think, would be very helpful to you. And yeah, and even if you make the top 10, but don't make the final four, just the exposure that being in that top 10 will get you, you know, on Gear Junkie, on Moose Jaw, could be invaluable to getting people excited about you and your company long term.
Absolutely. I think it's a very thoughtful way that you've done this application. And I agree with you. It's almost like a little pre-pitch exercise that you're taking folks through to understand what questions they might be asked in the future even. So that's phenomenal. Where can somebody find more information? I know that the application does close January 15th, which is this coming Friday, if you're listening to the podcast real time.
Yes. So you can find information on moosejaw.com/accelerator. Then there's lots of information there, and you can always reach out to Moose Jaw, feedback@moosejaw.com, if you have any questions, and we'll get them routed to the right person.
Wonderful. Owen, do you want to tell us if there's anything next for Moose Jaw? Do you want to let our audience know what's coming up on the horizon for you folks?
So there's a lot. I mean, this has been obvious to say that it's been a crazy 12 months. Is a massive understatement, but really, you know, we've taken this time to reflect on where we want to go as a company and what we need to do differently long term. So the whole idea of inclusivity is really driving a lot of what we're looking to do, and so there are economic barriers to people getting into the outdoors. that we want to try to address. And so, you know, one of the things we did early last year was introduce a new brand called Lithic, that, you know, provided quality backpacking gear at a more accessible price point. There was an outdoor hiking apparel brand called Allforth that provided, was accessible price points, but also extended sizing, which is not something you typically see in the industry today. But then even beyond that, we're looking at things like rental models, because I think, you know, rental is an important way for people to see if backpacking is for them, or to see if camping is for them, you know, at a more approachable way, and get access to great equipment so that they're not, you know, getting, you know, having a horrible experience and never going outdoors again. We want to get them access to that equipment. And then even resale, you know, resale is something that, you know, we're seeing it grow in the industry. You know, the Worn Wear program from Patagonia stands out. They're doing a great job. We're not seeing as much though on the equipment side. So that's something that we want to look at as well, as a way to make that accessible. And obviously on the equipment side, you have to be careful. We're not going to sell, you know, used climbing gear, but if there's an appropriate way to get, you know, it may their product returns, what have you, on the equipment side out to people to make it more easily accessible, then that's something we're looking at too.
Okay, that's amazing. That is a lot of stuff. You're right. I'm particularly excited about brands that allow anyone at any size to go outside and know that they can have equipment that will fit them and let them go out, because that must be so stressful to think, oh, I'd love to go outside. Will a backpack fit me, or will, you know, this gear fit me? That would not make you feel very welcome. So I'm really pleased to hear that that's one of the initiatives.
Right. And I mean, you think about it, right? Getting outdoors is one of the healthiest things you can do. But if you can't find the, you know, if you can't find the equipment to do it, it really is a barrier.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, and anything else that you would like to add before we leave?
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing I would say is in terms of diversity and inclusion, we at Moosejaw don't have it all figured out. You know, I mean, I don't stand up here and hold us out as a shining star. We have work to do. You know, we've got diversity within Moosejaw, but it definitely decreases as you go up the organization, right? And mm-hmm. as you move into areas like IT and merchandising, right? So we definitely don't have it figured out. But as I look at it, as I look at our challenges, you know, filling open roles with diverse candidates, you know, what it comes back to for me is outdoor participation, right? Because most people that work for Moosejaw or want to work for Moosejaw do it because they love the outdoors and they want to be involved with a company that's involved in the outdoors and, you know, where they can get a great gear discount and all the rest of that stuff. So, you know, I think it starts with the participation. And, you know, the accelerator, you know, obviously is another way so that we can actually start building companies that are actually diverse and potentially from the founder level on up. But, you know, I just don't think we're going to get there as an industry until it's a multi-pronged approach, but until we solve the participation issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that Moosejaw does support grassroots initiatives. For instance, you supported the executive director of Blackpackers on her through hike this summer.
Patricia Cameron, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So getting people actually outside, supporting their growth outside is extremely important. So we really appreciate that Moosejaw not only recognizes that, but is walking the walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, this, you know, it's a long-term problem that we've had as an industry for many, many years, and it's going to take long-term solutions. It's not something that can be solved with a social post or a quick donation. It's something that we're just going to have to keep at for a long time.
Yes. Well, appreciate your authenticity in that regard. Appreciate everything you're doing at Moosejaw, including this accelerator, which sounds like an absolutely amazing opportunity. We hope a ton of people apply, and then I can't wait to go see who the top 10 are. So thank you so much, Owen, and we will put all of the links to the accelerator, Moosejaw, and those new brands that you mentioned right in our show notes at outdoordreamjobs.com.
Yes, thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks so much again to Owen Comerford, CEO of Moosejaw, for really diving into that opportunity for us. Make sure to, if you have a friend that is launching an outdoor-oriented product, especially one that will increase diversity in this industry, tell them about this program. Not only do opportunities like this not come up too often, but I scan outdoor industry job boards daily, and I have not seen this one come across my desk anywhere except for the Basecamp Facebook group, which is where we saw it. So make sure you are sending this to somebody. Don't assume that they've seen it. Send it to them and make sure they know about it, because this opportunity for somebody could change their life. And next week, we are pretty stoked to have Ted Forbes from Cotopaxi joining us. That organization is on a hiring spree. They have a ton of jobs listed on their site. So if you have any questions at all for Ted about what it's like to work for Cotopaxi in Utah, join the Facebook group or send us an email and we will make sure to get your questions asked for you. Otherwise, make sure you're subscribed to the newsletter. We have a free version and a premium version with about 4 times more positions. And we still have super exciting stuff from the Basecamp group in 2021. So we cannot wait to launch that. Have an awesome week, everyone.